Good to see everybody here this morning. We are in the middle of our study through the Gospel of Moses, and we've been kind of focusing on Deuteronomy. I'm only going to read one verse from Deuteronomy, so I feel a little bit self-conscious about that. But it's going to be informed by a bunch of verses from Numbers and actually some stuff from the Old Testament. But for a second, here's what I want you to imagine in your mind. Imagine you are a 14-year-old who all of a sudden in the first century in Palestine, in the Canaan area, and you've been stricken with some type of disorder. And let's just say that maybe your body stops working the way it should, and you're a woman, and you start bleeding in ways that you never thought you would ever experience. With that, you recognize as a Jew, part of the law of God is being consecrated, and you need to stay holy. And you remember your rabbi, or you remember your father reciting the Torah. And you think to yourself, you know what? I remember God saying to Moses that this is the way we are to live our lives, and we are to be ceremonially clean. And if we're unclean, there's a major problem, because God wants cleanliness. He wants holiness. And so this is directly from Numbers chapter 5, 1 through 4. The Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who has a defiling skin disease or a discharge of any kind, or who is ceremonially unclean because of a dead body. Send away male and female alike. Send them outside the camp so they will not defile their camp where I dwell among them. Of course, that was the tabernacle. The Israelites did so, so they sent them outside the camp. They did this just as the Lord instructed Moses. I want you to think about that for a second, what that must be if you're a young girl coming into womanhood and you experience that and you realize I've got an issue here. Because what would the implications would be, I don't touch anybody in my own family. Imagine not to touch anybody. Imagine not to literally touch your mother or your father or your brother or sister. You have to stay away from them. What that must be. Here's what we know. Part of what we're experiencing right now, this pandemic, is from the fall. So the Bible tells us that, you know, because of sin came disease, right? And disease leads to death. And that is part of the curse. And so God wants his people to be holy. And so the question is, how are we to do that? What does it look like to be holy and to be set apart? Now, I'm going to read another passage from Numbers, and you're going to think that this is completely from left field or right field, right? But we're going to bring this together ultimately. This is Numbers 15. This is 10 chapters later. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corner of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not, what? Prostitute yourselves by chasing after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands, and you will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So here we have another exhortation where God is saying, look, there are certain garments that you will have. And I want you to, when you think about them, here's what I make the tassels on the corner of your garments with a blue cord on each of the tassels. Now, here's the thing. I got to go to the Holy Lands a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago now. And actually, 2.5 years ago now. And one of the things that they had all throughout Jerusalem was a was a prayer shawl, right? And this is what men wore, but a lot of times rabbis would wear. And they would place this around, right, around their necks. And here are the tassels, right? And you have these tassels. And this one does not have a blue cord or that blue dye that would symbolize royalty. But what we know about the tassels is, essentially, if you looked up the numeric number for this tallit, it's called a prayer shawl, the number is 600, unbelievably. And if you took the tassels, the knots in the tassels, there are 5. And then if you took all the actual tassels, there are 8. And so if you take the number, right, the prayer shawl number for tallit in Hebrew, it's 600. And you take the 8 tassels and the 5 knots, you equal what? 613. What's powerful about that? Powerful about that is that's the total number of commands in the law of God in Exodus. And so what they would do is they would say, as a rabbi, I'm going to hang on to the knots. What did the 5 knots stand for? The 5 books of the Torah. Right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. What are the 4 spaces for? Well, it's for the name you couldn't say out loud. It was too holy, Yahweh. And in the Hebrew, you don't use vowels. So it'd be YHWH. You don't use the A or the E. And so you put your hands in the spaces and you pray. And this is your prayer shawl. And when you wear this and you think about the law of God, consecrate yourself. And when you hang on to these tassels, think about the law of God and what he wants you to do, and ask him for power. Because what does everybody in this room need right now? If it's not physical healing, we need spiritual healing. Some of you right now are addicted to things. Maybe you're not willing to peel the onion enough, but you have been addicted. Maybe it's to, you know, your image. Maybe it's to a body image. I need to look a certain way. Maybe it's to, you know, a certain a financial commitment. But we all need healing. And imagine, if you will, that you're this girl. And imagine you're from Capernaum, that's up in the Sea of Galilee, right? Up the Jordan River, up in the Sea of Galilee area. And imagine you get a ride, and you've gone a few times, and maybe this is your 3rd or 4th time, but you want to go down to Jerusalem, and I want to show you a picture. This is Jerusalem, and here you see just a picture of the temple. And there to the, that would be actually to the east, would be the Garden of Gethsemane. But at the very top, I didn't do that very well. I didn't cut it off very well. I apologize for that. You have the pools of Bethesda. And you have a belief, we know this in the New Testament, that there's healing. This is a special pool. And there's healing that comes. And imagine you're 14 or you're 17 and you're a girl and you want healing. And you're 20 or you're 21. And you're thinking to yourself, I have not touched my family. I want to be healed. And you go. Now, actually, I got it in Jerusalem. They have this museum. They have an outdoor scaled model of Jerusalem, the old city. And here's a picture of it. And right to the left there, you see that's the part of the temple, right? They built this model. Let's go to the next slide. Do we have the whole thing in there? Okay. Well, so right where that blue arrow is, that's very powerful there. That's right where the pool is. So imagine it is so close. That's just to the north. I don't know. It's not very far at all. We actually were there in Jerusalem temple and walked to this pool, and it's not a far walk at all. It's really, a couple of football throws and you're there. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is where the presence of God is, and here's the pool. And I've heard about this, and I heard that if you stir the pool, that I will get healing. Imagine you're this girl, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, God, I'm a Jew, and I believe, I'm committed to Yahweh, I'm committed to the faithfulness of God. And you go to this pool, and you've heard about this lame guy. You've heard these rumors about this lame guy who got healed. And you've heard about other people that have been healed here, but you go and maybe you come to church and you want healing, right? And you say, God, take this from me. Where is my hope? And you place your hope in what? In the physical healing of the now. That's the only way I can live. Once this pandemic is done and the world is healed, I can live. And many of us were on pause. And when you think of healing, you think, no, I want it now, and I want it on this side of heaven. And imagine you're this girl, and years go by, and you've heard about the paralyzed man that was healed, and you think to yourself, okay, what is my lot in life? Maybe you're in college now, and you're thinking, I'm struggling through this. Or maybe you're married now and you thought, I would be over this. I want healing. Or maybe you're later on, late in life, and you're thinking, why is this still here? I want healing. And we think these things. And healing, Jesus says, is there for us. But imagine you're this girl, and all of a sudden, you begin to hear rumors about a local rabbi. A rabbi who was raised in a near city, Nazareth, just up the road. And you've heard things like, okay, you know, he's accused of blasphemy. He doesn't speak like normal rabbis do. And then imagine you go into back to your house. You're coming from another journey to Jerusalem, and you're coming back to your house in Capernaum. And you're a good Jewish family. And what do the Jewish families do? It says literally, place your prayers what on the door. On the door frame. This isn't like Passover. It just means place your prayers there on the door frames. It says to do that many times, because what do you pray? What do you place there? You place the Shema prayer, which is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Write them on your door frames of your houses and your gates. And so you rub right the wood there. And maybe it's gotten a little less, it's kind of worn down because you rub it all the time and you pray that prayer and you give him the Shema prayer and your God, and you're saying to yourself, God, please, please save me from this. And then imagine you hear again from people that you know around Capernaum, like Peter. And you hear, I was out fishing, and all of a sudden there was this massive storm, and then all of a sudden there wasn't. And you're hearing about these supernatural things, and you don't know what's happening. But here's what you do know, that this rabbi is talking about healing. And I'm wondering what that looks like for you. I'm wondering, it's been, as Morgan prayed, we're coming up upon, what, the second or third week of March. That's when we stopped services for about 13 weeks. And it's when this thing hit. It's been almost a full year. And some of us are asking, God, please heal us. Where does our true sense of healing come from? And I'm wondering if this girl thought the very same thing. You know what? I just want healing, God. I want healing. I want to be one. And so, when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, we're reminded, anybody who has a prayer shawl is told this: make tassels on the four corners of your cloak you wear. So when you have the cloak and you have this shawl, here's what I want you to do. Make sure that you make tassels, right? And then there's these knots, and that you're holding on to them, and that when you pray, you're giving God what? You're giving God his due. Because here's what we know. The tassels mean something. If you look at it, it actually showed, the blue cord showed the authority that was given to God. And that tassel, particularly that blue tassel, I don't have, you know, it's not on here, but the blue tassel would show the kingly authority you have. And so think about this. You're David, and you come behind King Saul. You're hiding in the caves, right? And Saul, he's using the bathroom. This is what we know happened, unbelievably. And here comes King David. Here comes this young upstart. And what does he do? He clips the what? The hem of his garment. What is that showing? David is saying, no, no, God has authority and God has anointed me, and I am going to be the king of Israel. King has anointed me, therefore God has given me authority. It's his authority, but I'm going to what? I'm going to cut the tassel on your shawl to show that I have authority. And you're thinking about this. And as you think, okay, what does it mean when we pray to give God his authority over all things? Even over our bodies, over our minds, and as we read in Numbers, over our hearts. You give your heart. That's why they said you cannot intermarry. Why? Because when you give your heart over to somebody else who doesn't know me, that's going to affect you. That will affect your heart and what you do and the way you raise your kids. You cannot intermarry. It hurts. It'll be part of what? A disease that will happen to your family. And so you're thinking, okay, God, what do you want for me? What is this supposed to look like? And you go on again and again and again, and you think, oh, wait, there was another reference to this. I remember my father talking about the prophet Zechariah. And I remember Zechariah said something about this. Let's go to the next slide. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the what? By the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. What is powerful with Jesus? It's referred to the hem of his robe, his authority, the law of God. That's what this, we want healing. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the presence and the law of God. How many of us struggle with this? We want healing and we will do whatever we can in our own strength. I'm going to go to AA, right? And one of the beautiful things about A is that you give yourself to a higher power, right? But they don't say it's the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They don't say it's the God of the Bible. It's Yahweh who put skin on and became Jesus. They don't say that. And that is where true healing comes from. Many of us, what can you do? You can go to a counselor. You can. And you know what? Maybe you struggle with depression. And you know what? You can get some relief from that. They will give you some good coping skills, some meditative exercises that are not bad. Those are good things, right? They help alleviate some of the pain, but if you really look deeper, you think to yourself, you know what? No, I want this disease or this addiction or this struggle that I want healing from. I need to look at its very core. And it all goes to what? It all goes to identity. Where do we place our identity? And so you're a young woman and you're thinking, I cannot touch, I am not whole. How do I become whole? What am I supposed to do? I am hearing rumblings, right, of this kind of rogue Messiah, of this rogue rabbi. Is he really is he actually the real thing? That's the question. Is he the real thing? You think even more and you go to the last book of the Old Testament. Remember, the Jewish family knew this all the time. You know the prophets, you know the Torah. And you go to the last book of the Old Testament, and this is in Malachi 4, the last book. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall what? Shall arise with healing in his wings. So what would happen, those that would come to the rabbi, we know, is that he would lift his prayer shawl out sometimes, and it would look like wings. To come under what? The shadow of his wings. It points to Jesus, right? Malachi is saying to you who fear, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. Fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with what? With healing in his wings. What healing do you need? What does it look like for you to say, okay, God, I am coming to you. Here's what I know. My identity is in you. I will trust in the power, what? Of your wings. And so when you think, Zechariah said this right, people from every nation, they're going to clutch the hem or the tassel of the Messiah's garment. That's what is going to happen. There's got to be healing. And I want to say this to you. There is healing. And it's available right now. True ultimate healing is available to you right now. Because just like the woman had to come to grips with what she had to come to grips with, you know what? In and of myself, I am diseased. I am hemorrhaging blood. I am unclean, not just physically, but what is this woman also? She had to come to grips with, I am spiritually unclean. You won't need a big Jesus or a big cross unless you understand how much of a sinner you are. That is so massive, because some of us in here want a dash of Jesus. Because what we fundamentally believe is we are stricken with just a dash of sin. I just got a little sin I got to get rid of, and you don't. You are diseased. I am diseased. We are stage 4 diseased. And we need healing. And we know in the New Testament what? There were posers. And who were these posers? They were the Pharisees. And they're referenced. Jesus hated them. And they're referenced for what they would do to make themselves look good, right? So this is Matthew 9. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries, which is just a kind of a wooden case to hold their Torah in, wide. And the what? And the tassels extra long, baby, right? Make the tassels extra long because you want everybody to see how awesome your prayer shawl is. But they were posers. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. Their prayer shawl was just for show. It was only for show. They didn't understand, ultimately, that their identity should be in the rabbi. And that, ultimately, the one rabbi and only his obedience to God's law and only his unique power of forgiveness is where their identity should be. And I'm wondering if that resonates with you. Where is my identity? What am I doing for show? What are the things? Maybe I go to church and I want to be a part of this, but it's ultimately just to I want people and myself to believe that I'm moral enough, generally speaking. And Jesus could see right through it. And then what do you have? Imagine you're, I don't know, 25, 26, it's been years, and you're that woman, right? You're that woman. And here you are. Let's go to the next slide. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, mid-20s, came up behind him and what? She touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. Now, we know that God doesn't always answer these prayers physically, but we know he always does spiritually. And some of us right now need to come by faith, believing in what? Faith, believing in what you cannot see, and stop using your eyes. Stop using your eyes and believe with your heart. Believe in what you cannot see. And what will begin to happen in you is that healing, your identity, will be formed around Jesus. Because if you think this is 600 plus 8 plus 5 is 613 laws, there's no one in this room can come close to keeping all those laws. Except for the second Adam, right? The perfect Moses, the perfect David. He is the one who could be the great law keeper, the perfect king who would not look at the woman on the terrace and say, I want her, and could look at Satan and say, no, I won't. I will live, like we talked about last week, by what? By the word of my Father. And that's what we're called to do. What does it mean for you to say, okay, God, even if you don't heal my body right now, I need you to heal my mind. You tell me, do not fear. And the reason you tell me, do not fear, is because you're the healer and you want to heal anxiety right now. And that's available. And if you believe it or not, the tassels that they're talking about in Deuteronomy in 1405 BC is the same exact offering that you have today. And Jesus was going as his rabbi, and here's what he said to you and to me. He says, when you have your prayer shawl, remember he said this in Matthew 6? He goes, I don't want you to what? I don't want you to pray in public. Because here's what I know. I need you to go into a closet. Imagine this, you're traveling and you don't have a closet. Imagine, and this is what many of them would do, they would just put it over, they would turn around, and basically kind of like being under the covers, right? When you're praying in your bed at night and you're just under the covers, go under the covers where no one can see you, no one can see your lips moving, and be by yourself. Because it's in those moments when he gets you. He gets the authentic you. And he says, trust that I have completed and perfected the law. And trust me and live by faith. And we see in the Gospel of Mark, what does he say? Mark 6:56, and wherever he went, what? Into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged, what? Him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. What does that mean? What does that mean for you to say, you know what? All I've been doing is fighting with my spouse, with my husband. That's all we do. There's this low-grade kind of anger and angst in our home. And we do well when the kids are around, but when the kids aren't around, yeah, I tell you what, it gets funky. And I want healing. I long for healing. And you stare at the rabbi here, and he says, my power, what? When you come to me by faith and you trust that you don't have to do anything and I've done everything and you come by faith, what? My power will flow through you. He wants to heal. Like now. He wants to heal families right now. But you have to find your identity if you are a son looking at your earthly father and you say, I can't stand my dad. I got to have a starting place. Jesus says, I am your starting place. Because if you have placed anything that's more foundational than my walk with you, as far as your walk with your own earthly father, you know what? There's no hope. It's conditional upon whatever you guys do. And here's the hope. Is that when he's done it perfectly and you find yourself in him and your report card is straight A's because Jesus gave you his report card and says, that's your record now. The pressure's off. Now, how can I love my dad? I'm so frustrated with my son, his behavior, and I discipline it. And you know what's happening now? When I discipline my son, my heart is moving from discipline actually to dislike. And that's a scary spot for a dad. When you love your son and you're disciplining your son, but you know what? Now it's moving into this other realm that you've never experienced before. You got to find yourself and your relationship with your son in Jesus, and you'll be healed. What is the one relationship right now where you say, you know what? I can't even look at them. Or I won't even speak to them. Jesus is saying, don't. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and take the shadow of my wings, find yourself in me, and once you do, healing will begin to come. But you have to trust him. And then what do you have to do? You have to take a step of faith. God wants healing to come right now. And I'm not talking about easy believism. I'm not talking about the health and wealth gospel. I'm talking about true healing. Where Jesus says, you know what part of the process is for you is to count your cost. And you've done that, many of you in this room. But you now need to deny yourself. Who am I in Jesus? I know they hurt me. But you know what? What? It's unconditional. The love I have from him. So you know what? I'm going to go call my sister. I'm going to go talk to my brother. My buddy who betrayed me, I'm going to trust that my identity is in Jesus. And you know what feels? It just feels like our society is angry now. Everybody is angry. And we need healing from this. We need to stop being so angry because we look at ourselves and we understand, you know what? I'm a wretch. Amazing grace, right? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once you understand that, once you see yourself as this young woman did, I'm diseased and I'm sick. Here's my only hope. I got to touch the hem of his robe. This is called the tzitzit. The tallit, and this is the tzitzit. The tassel, the tzitzit. I've got to touch the tzitzit. Because the authority is in Jesus, who's completed and perfected the law of God. Where are you? What does it look like for us to believe in the tassels of the prayer shawl, but not long ones like the Pharisees thought? Here's what we do. We don't have these loud, articulate prayers in front of people. We go into the secret. And we go into the quiet place and we get in the closet and it's our prayer closet and we say, God, heal us, because we trust that you see our heart and we are incapable. We are unable to do that. You have to come to the end of yourself. That's all the Old Testament is about. Israel, will you just come to the end of yourself and find yourself in me? Where are you this morning? He wants to give you healing. He wants to give you a lightness. He wants to turn the rage and the anger into what? Into joy, into understanding mercy. How are you going to apply it this week? Please don't make this some talk. Don't make this some lecture about some part of the Bible and the Torah. Make this about how you can experience healing that's available to you right now. But you have to be honest with yourself. You have to say, okay, where is it? And I particularly want to emphasize relationships. How formative they are. God, what could healing bring to this church right now? How could we bring, right, the family of God together through the wings, the shadow of your wings that you want to bring us? Let's pray and ask God to help.